Do it like your mother said not to do. Oh my goodness. You know, I tell you, I love it when I get new tracks.
You know, oh, I love it.
It just really hits the right spot. You know, especially in the gym. You need something to really pick you up, and you heard the same stuff over and over and over again, but you need something new.
Or for me, it's in the car.
In the car,
oh,
too?
Oh, when you're driving and you need that new tune, fire.
Oh, my goodness. This is Hot Guys, ladies and gentlemen. These are your hosts, Kiefer Whitehead.
And Jothan over here.
Fantastic. How you doing tonight, Jothan?
Oh, I'm having a great day. It's been a good day.
Not too frightful outside. Not too bad. I mean, the snow's out there, but, you know, we're used to it now. I like to think, you know, where last week was kind of like a little bit of a surprise, like, oh, my goodness, snow, be careful. Now it's like we're expecting it. We're ready. End of November, coming in December. So it's like, you know, we're good. We're good to go. I like to think we're good to go.
I'm pretty good to go, to be honest. As long you know what is always the worst for me is when we had football practice in the snow. Once football's done for me, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good. I can put on some layers. I can be inside. The cold's not a problem.
You know, and the funny thing about that too is I find, like, cold or even like rainy days or like mud, you know, even if that is a lot more bearable in a game as opposed to just in practice. You know, speaking of snow too, that Grey Cup happened this past weekend. A couple of Laurier alumni played in that. We had Chris Ackey for the Ottawa Red Blacks.
Yep.
Playing linebacker number 5.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had the defensive end for Calgary.
Essay.
I cannot pronounce his last name.
I'm not going to try.
I believe he was number 93? I'm pretty sure. Two big Laurier alumni played in that game.
Even had a Laurier coach.
And had a Laurier coach. Coach Cam was there.
Yeah.
That was huge. That was huge. The result of that game was a victory for the Stampeders.
A decisive one.
Decisive one.
And, you know, we're not bringing this up just to talk professional football. We like to highlight former athletes that have gone through Laurier. And, you know, once you're a Golden Hawk, you're always a Golden Hawk.
Exactly. And it's cool to see, like, their success in the pros as life goes on. I mean, you look at a guy like right now, chronicling the journey of a guy like Curly Gittens Jr. going through life right now, getting ready for the pros, going through all his processes right now, too. It's interesting to see guys who've gone through those kind of processes and where they are now. And, I mean, touching upon the factor we were talking about before with the weather, if any dude did manage to catch that game on Sunday, the weather was a huge factor as it was a little difficult to watch, I'm not going to lie. The snow and the ice in the field just made it so slippery, and, like, guys were trying to make cuts left, right, and center, and they just couldn't. I mean, it seems like every time there was a punt or, like, a kicking kind of play, like, a guy was trying to field it, everyone was just flying past them because they just couldn't get any ground and just kind of leveled themselves out. So, I mean, for a league like the CFL, you kind of hope for a bit more professionalism with, you know, the care, the treatment of the field. But, it, you know, there's only so much they can do. So who am I to critique them for that? I'm just saying.
You're right.
But it was tough to watch.
What I think is the coolest part about all of that is, you know, when you get to watch and, you know, you always watch those university ads. Hey, Laurier, we prepare you for life.
Mm-hmm.
All this, prepare you for career field. And one of those areas is sometimes in professional sports. Mm-hmm. So when you see, like, last winter during the Olympics, it was one of our alums who would want a gold medal in curling.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of stuff is so cool to see. You know, you actually can go to say, you know, I went to university that prepared me to be a pro athlete or to be an engineer or a doctor or in the business world. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's no denying that sports is a factor of a lot of people's lives. You know, for some, professional sports is the end goal. And to see people be successful with that goal and to thrive in that field is nice to see and gives you hope for all future Laurier students.
100%.
You know, like, why not you?
But not only focusing on the students that of the past, let's focus on the students of the of today.
Ah, from the ice to the water we go.
Yeah.
As we had a bit of a swim meet this past weekend in Sudbury, Ontario, where our Golden Hawks... they did pretty decently, I would say.
I would say, yeah.
Some big key performers to talk about out there. Our current actually athlete of the week, Jasmine Rains, for women's swimming. She had a fantastic performance out there, capturing gold in 3 different events, the 50-meter, the 100-meter, and the 150-meter. Just think about that for a second there. She captured gold in all 3 of those. All 3 of those. And, you know, they're 3 different types of swimming, right? Like, one's quick, get there, get back. And one is just, you know, get there, 50 meters, right? And to be successful and be the best at all different 3, you know, types like that is really impressive. You know, you see those guys like on track, like Usain Bolt, for example, who sets those amazing records for the short distance, 100 meters and stuff like that. And then to see someone who has that agility on top of that breakaway speed to, you know, maintain such a factor is really impressive in its own sense.
I mean, yeah. And overall, the Hawks had an amazing day at the swim meet. Led the Hawks team to a fifth place finish, which is amazing.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, when I even think about swimming, I think about sinking. So it's not much of a swim meet for me. So I'm like, I honestly, swimming's one of those things that I find is so impressive. So to watch and see this many Laurier students that did well during the swim meet, at the Laurentian meet, we actually had, I lost the page here for a sec. So we had the men, Max Hughes, he placed third in the 400 meter. We have the 200 meter freestyle, Jocelyn Chassie. She placed fourth. We have the 200 meter freestyle, Laurier. The women, they finished sixth. So these are some awesome, awesome accomplishments at the Laurentian meet, which is quite a way to travel to get all the way up to Laurentian.
How far is that again? Like 8 hours?
Laurentian, I think it's six.
Six? Sudbury.
Don't quote me on that. I think it's six.
That's like north and then west, isn't it?
Just north, yeah. So once you get past, go up to Barrie, boom.
Just keep going. You're right there. Yeah.
Just keep going.
Okay, you see, look at this. We'll give you the weather. We'll give you directions in case you ever feel like going somewhere. You don't know how to get there. And we'll give you the sports. I mean, what more could you ask for?
Every week is something new.
Every week is something new. So, you know, a great performance by them. That was huge. And again, really impressive performance by Jasmine Raines. But something we've come to expect from her, as she is one of the top swimming athletes in Canada. I feel confident
that, saying that's a name you're going to continue to hear, honestly. Absolutely. I won't be surprised if you're hearing that name in an Olympics one day.
Mm-hmm.
I am not going to be surprised.
So do be sure to check that out for all future occasions. Shifting gears now again from the frozen waters, or the waters, to a little bit more of a frozen pond, if you will,
mm-hmm.
inside an arena. We had a little bit of hockey occur these past weekend. Women's and men's both played two games respectively. Our women's hockey unfortunately ended up with two losses, losing to Queens on the 23rd by a score of 1-0, and losing by UOIT by a score of 3-1 on the 24th of November. Brief takeaways I get from looking at each game individually is Cohen Myers is just doing everything you can ask for from a goaltender. You know, letting in only one goal in that game against Queens.
And then it was an early goal.
Mm-hmm.
The first goal was, 12 minutes into the first?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and the Hawks still shot well. And, you know, she saw a lot of pucks to the net.
She did. And that's absolutely important for her to be on her head like that and keep your team in the game against a team like Queens, who is one of the better teams out there. So it is really impressive. Queens actually sits second in the league right now.
Yeah, with an 8-5 record. So the Queens Gales are a good team.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, anytime you can play a good team. Right now, Laurier is sitting with a 2-8 record. Now, unfortunately, it's a 2-8 record, but I really believe this could be a record that could easily be 4 wins, 5 wins, and in that upper echelon of the OUA. And unfortunately, they've had some tough losses. Some ones where they've been in these tight games, and unfortunately, they haven't been able to pull out a win.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think one thing that could give you a lot of confidence going forward is the fact that, you know, looking at a game like Queens, and a specific example, is that they were there. They were right there with one of the best teams in the league.
Yeah.
You know, it was by no means that they were overmatched or that they could not hang, if you will. They kept up with them. You know, they definitely skated the ice with them. They did not take an abundance of penalties. There were certainly a few, but not an abundance in the sense that they could not keep up with them, as there was no penalty up shorthanded goals given up or any power play goals given up or any of that sort. So they definitely stayed in the game the majority of the time. But unfortunately, thing about hockey is it's a game of bounces. You know, sometimes the puck will go in, sometimes the goalie will just miss it, and sometimes it will not. And unfortunately in this game, Queens just had the bounce on their stick.
Yeah, and it's hard to, you know, if you can look at a team and say, you know, oh, the Laurier women don't have talent. That's not the case. That's not the case because we know that they can play. We watched them play against Ryerson. Their last game against Ryerson on the 15th, they lost by 2-1. And Ryerson's a good team in the OUA. That's going to be their next opponent. But they're playing against these quality opponents and they're getting these scores that are like, you know, they're competing. And it's tough to see. And It kind of scratch your head a little because it kind of makes you go, what's kind of the issue? Because what's keeping them from getting over that hump? Because they are a competent team with good athletes and, you know, and they're in these games against these good opponents. So it's a frustrating time for the women's hockey. But no doubt, I think they can easily bounce back, especially in that game, their next game against Ryerson.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I like to look at it in the sense that it's not so much about what more can you do. It's just in the sense about, can you get a little bit of luck? You know, I like to look at a little bit of a recent performance by an NBA player by the name of James Harden. Dropped 54 points against the Washington Wizards and still lost that game.
Yeah.
You know, that's an amazing individual effort as is. You know, having over half your team's points. And yet to still come away with a loss just shows that sometimes it's just not meant to be. You know, you can go out, lead your team best you can, lay it all on the floor or on the ice in this case here. And, you know, try and take as many shots you can, put yourself in a good position best you can. And sometimes it's just unfortunately not meant to be. So hoping that Lady Luck can take a little spin down to Laurier, Wilfrid Laurier University, and help our women's hockey team out. Because, again, I don't see anything else they're missing.
No, I don't think it's goaltending. I don't think it's defense. You know, these aren't blowout wins all the time. I mean, it's hockey. You're going to have a few days where, you know, it wasn't your day. The puck didn't go your way.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just kind of how sports works. So one or two blowouts a season, that's fine. That's not the end of the world. You'll recover. It's okay. You have a short memory as an athlete. But watching these close games and looking at that and going, what's the issue? Because it just doesn't seem like you have one. It just looks like the puck is biased towards you.
What do you do about a biased puck?
I mean, there's no other answer at this point.
You ever seen that? It's like an old TV cartoon. It's like, I think it's like the kid. He loves hockey. He would like sleep in his skates or something like that. Something crazy like that. They had like this skit they did. Well, I mean, like the show showed this like plotline.
Yeah.
Where this person had this puck, but like there was an antenna sticking out. How you couldn't see the antenna was beyond me. But there was a puck with the antenna sticking out, and there's a guy sitting like way up in the stands controlling the little puck with like a little controller. And it's like he would just make the puck make these crazy deeks and diddles and just go in the back of the net. And the other team was looking so good. They were feeling great. And the other team's like, what am I supposed to do? And, you know, it's like I think of that specific cartoon.
Yeah.
As like, you're doing everything you can. It's just, is there somebody controlling a puck somewhere else?
I mean,
probably not.
It must be. I think you got to pray to the hockey gods because something's going on here that seems out of your control.
It does.
Because you're asking, hey, on some of these games, sure, are they getting in the box a lot? But we're not seeing a lot of power play goals on them. So
no.
That's not the issue. Is it, you know, your goalie's not able? No, that's not really the issue. Is it you're not getting shots on? No, they're getting shots on net. So sometimes you just kind of scratch your head at these ones. But honestly, I think if you look at the next game, again, they're going to be playing Ryerson. It's going to be a home game, which is nice because the last time they played Ryerson, it was in Toronto. So, you know, you get a little bit of that advantage to be on home ice. That game will be on Saturday, December 1st at 7:07 p.m. So if you are around in the area, definitely go support your Hawks. These women, they are that close. So, you know, it could be the difference of you going out there, cheering extra loud, you know, throws the other team off, something. Maybe go heckle the other team. I don't know. But, you know, these women, they're right on the cusp. And I think this break, the Christmas break, is going to really help them. I think it's going to give them a little time to just recoup. You know, I don't know what it is they need to work on because it doesn't seem like anything, but it'll give them a little time, maybe just get their head right and, you know, be able to visualize maybe a little bit more of that puck going in the back of the net.
Yeah, maybe old Saint Nick will drop a little Christmas cheer on them or something
exactly.
like that.
Exactly. You know, start the year off in a new way. So after that, after the break, their next game will be Saturday, January 5th. So this is your last chance to go catch the women's hockey team before, you know, they're almost on a month-long break. So definitely go do that. Definitely encourage you to go do that.
I always found, you know, those breaks, you know, I like to think about it. Like, you ever play, like, pickup basketball? Of course, yeah. We've had our runs, of course.
Oh, yeah.
You know those ones where, like, you got a lot of good games going on, you're getting after it, you're starting to find your stroke a little bit, you're getting in the rhythm, and then, like, maybe you lose or something just doesn't go your way, and then you're sitting for a while. And, you know, I find sometimes those moments and, you know, those instances in particular can really just throw off a rhythm.
Oh, 100%.
And, like, you'll get back out there, like, sure, you had a great rest, you feel good, but, like, you just... you lost your mojo a little bit, you know, maybe...
I feel that.
You grip the puck, you grip the stick, pardon me, a little bit tighter than you usually do because you're trying to get back into it. You got to get out of this whole relaxation vibe you've been in for so long now. You know, again, breaks, it can be great and it can be bad. But here's hoping this break, will be for the better for the women's hockey team.
Switching to the men's side of things, the men had a two-game stretch where they played Waterloo. It was the school day game, so that was on a Wednesday. They had a big W against Waterloo. With a 3-1 win, and that was over at the Kitchener Odds, so it was a nice event for them. And then they played again on Friday And that was at Brock in St. Catharines. And unfortunately, they lost with a score of 2-0.
Yeah, so quick takeaway here is, we love it. We just love it when Laurier beats our rival. Having a school day game like that, where you have all the kids out there cheering their hearts off, making it feel like very much a professional atmosphere, if you will, where you have all the screaming fans just a little bit younger and the voice is a little bit higher. It just feels amazing. And, for them to come out there, take care of business against a team that, they should have won, and they did exactly just that.
Exactly. When I watched the game, right away, it looked like it was definitely an event where you had all the screaming kids, and you're in a different arena. It's almost like it's an away game for both teams. You're in different locker rooms, everything like that. But immediately, right off the gate, Laurier was out there. And they were going. And it didn't look like Waterloo really ever had a chance. Laurier scored an empty netter, I think it was late. But it was never really that close. I mean, from the start, in the first frame, Laurier puts away that first goal. And then they get a goal in the second there. And they had a comfortable lead. That goal, Waterloo's goal in the third, kind of put it a little tighter. And then Waterloo was able to get some pressure. But then Laurier was able to seal it with the empty netter late in the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it just matters, how do you finish the game? Came out with a strong start, put Waterloo on their heels right away, and they were able to pot one in the third, but ultimately Laurier dug in, they took care of business, and they were the better team at the end of the day.
And really what's nice about that is you always want to look at a team and say, how do you play in a close game? So you'll find, there are always teams. For example, if we're going to take football, Western Mustangs are a dominant program. Mm-hmm. One thing you always want to do is, can we get them in a close game? Where it makes them feel that little bit of uncomfortable. Are they used to playing from behind? Are they used to playing? So, when you face a good opponent that's typically blowing teams out, I think if we're just going to talk about football for a sec, they had a margin of, I think they were winning games by like 30 points. So what happens when the game's a 5-point game or a 2-point game? So that's the exact thing you want to see from Laurier. Because going into the playoffs, And that's really where their mindset has to start looking, is they're kind of getting ready for playoff mode. So going into those playoffs, like, can they win those close games? And that's what's going to prove as a test. So you want those challenges early in the season. It's like almost like a test run to see, can we do this? Is this something that we're capable of doing? And their colors showed that, they can do it. They can grind out a win.
Absolutely, too. And that's what counts in the day, is just coming away with a victory. Briefly shifting gears now to their game against Brock. This game, right away, a number that jumps out to me, Jothan, is 41. 41 shots by your Golden Hawks on Logan Thompson, the goalie for Brock, and not one of them went through. And what this tells me as an audience member is that, quite frankly, their goalie was just on one in that game. He was just playing out of his mind, standing on his head, as the phrase goes.
Yeah.
And, when you have those instances, there's just simply not much else you can ask for. I mean, you come out, you shoot 12 shots in the first, 15 shots in the second, and 14 shots in the third, greatly passing the average that I like to look at, which is about 9 or 10 per period, greatly surpassing that with 41 shots is phenomenal.
And you're right, he was just on one, because sometimes you just got to take a look and you go, you know what, he was recruited to play, he's a good player, and he showed that. And that's just sometimes what happens. The other day, it was in the NHL, and you saw Ovechkin and Carey Price. Carey Price absolutely robbed him. Ovi, honestly, he just gave him the look of, well, he just started clapping his hands. He said, you know what? You're a quality player. I'm a quality player. I'm going to get some. You're going to get some. And you got one that time.
Exactly. You know,
go ahead. Yeah.
No, I feel like sometimes in those moments, it's just like, appreciate greatness when you witness it live like that.
Exactly.
Whenever you get a goaltender making a diving across crease save like that to rob one of the best players, one of the most lethal scorers in the league like that, all you can do is just sit and appreciate greatness. I like to think of it a lot going back to about April in the NBA playoffs, game three of the second round of the Eastern Conference semifinal. And OG Anunoby just hit a humongous 3-point shot off the back left corner to tie the game up after they were down the entirety of the game. What happens next? LeBron James gets the ball, goes down the left side of the court, and hits just the most beautiful floater off, just kisses the glass and into the net. Ugh. And, it's moments like that are similar to this, where it's just, what are you going to do?
Exactly.
What are you going to do?
Exactly. You look at those and you go, we did everything. we could have done to get back in that game. Mm-hmm. You did everything. Honestly, Laurier, you shot 15 shots in the second period.
Oh, my God.
Another 14 in the third frame. What more could you do? They scored two goals on 21 shots. I mean, you put up 20 more shots than them, and you still couldn't get one to squeak by. That's sometimes the day.
It is. Know? And the frustration showed, too, as Laurier accumulated 43 minutes of penalties on 8 infractions, a couple of fighting penalties. And again, sometimes, you know, and sometimes it's good just to release that pent-up, you know, emotions. Not always in a way that could get yourself suspended or, you know, really, you know, detrimental to your team. But hockey's that one sport where it's okay to get a little fight in here and there and just let out exactly. some emotions. You know, I mean, they have a full time slot allotted for it for fighting. They have a whole penalty slot allotted for it. And, I mean, some say it's not good. Some say it is okay. You know, you can defend your team, but at the same time, the injuries and concussions that come with it, there's a whole argument to go around that. But the fact of the matter is, it's a part of the game, and it can be utilized in many different ways. Most negative, but few positive, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you could look at this and say, maybe he was just frustrated. Maybe he was just trying to unleash a lot of pent-up emotions, anger, as I previously alluded to. Or in the other sense, you could think maybe he's just trying to spark the team. You know, I think back to, I want to say it was the 2009 Stanley Cup Final, or not the, it was Stanley Cup Playoffs, pardon me. It was the first round, Game 7,
mm-hmm.
and it was the Pittsburgh Penguins-Philadelphia Flyers, one of the most heated rivalries. I may have got the year wrong, I will admit to that, but I do remember that specifically. It was a Pittsburgh versus Philadelphia. And it was Game 7. And Philadelphia was up by a score of 3-1. And a player, I believe it was one of the older Pittsburgh Penguins. His name does not come to me right away, but that's besides the point. The fact of the matter is, it was one of the older Penguins who don't usually fight, who are not usually involved in that kind of mishaps, if you will. He decided to try and spark his team to drop the gloves and just do what he could do to get his boys going. And little did we know that that actually did spark the team to an eventual 4-3 win over those Flyers where they went all the way to this cup final. So again, it has its moments where it can be detrimental to the whole game, and it has its moments where it can be, in some cases, a good spark to get you guys going.
Exactly. Honestly, fighting is, it's symbolic and it's physical. So there's the physical aspect where you're obviously punching another dude and you're trying to knock him on his butt. But then there is also the symbolic of, I am literally fighting for this win. I will do whatever it takes. Doesn't matter who I am. Doesn't matter what you've designated me as, enforcer, scorer, star, whatever. It doesn't matter. I'm here to win, and I will literally fight for it. I will fight everything for it. And that, you can't blame somebody. The only thing we can say is a little bit on here is the 10-minute misconducts. Those are, you can control those a little. So it's one thing to have the emotion and everything for fighting, but the misconducts are kind of where it gets a little bit out of control. But 100%, I am all for, you know, it's a frustrating day when you get 41 shots and you just unfortunately can't get any, you get shut out in the game from 41 shots. And you know what? Let take off the mitts and let it fly. I'm okay with it. It's definitely a good spark. It shows that, you know what, I really do want to win, and this matters. And, you know, I have no problem.
Absolutely. So, again, no question could be ever be made about their effort, as it was right there. Looking ahead, too, their next game will be on December 1st, and that will be against York, and that will be at the Waterloo Memorial Recreation Complex at 3:30 p.m. So if you're available, do come out and check it out. We're going to take a little short break here.
With one of my personal favorite songs, The Grinch. You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. One of my favorite songs.
Okay, do enjoy this during the break, and we'll come back with some basketball. Classic song. You know, I'm not going to lie, Joe, I'm a little disappointed. I thought we had maybe a different one lined up. There is the legend, the Boobs, Michael Bublé.
You're all about the Boobs.
He's a great guy. Great singer. I got to appreciate his work for what he is.
You know what? Honestly, you got to mix up the style a little bit. Everyone sings that song.
Of course.
There's nothing wrong with a different version. I personally loved it with the little violin in there.
Ooh, I do like the violin.
It's just beautiful instrument. Beautiful instrument.
If played proper too, it can really just tickle the eardrum just right. If ever you're looking for like a nice violin banger.
Don't say tickled. I don't like that.
I'm just saying, if ever you're looking for like a violin banger, look up Lindsey Stirling. Great violinist. I don't know what the proper term is for that, but
I think it's violinist, yeah.
Yeah, violinist. Mm-hmm. She does like a techno violin thing, like it gets like crazy fast. It's really cool.
That's really crazy.
Cool. I just recommend checking it out sometime if you have time. Get you going if you ever need it. Speaking of getting it going, the women's basketball, they got it going.
Absolutely.
They went back-to-back, beating Laurentian 73-60 with that final score, and then beating Nipissing right after with a score of 66-59.
With that, honestly, it's nice because the women snapped a 3-game losing streak with those two wins. What I think it is they're playing up to their potential. These are two big wins that they definitely needed at this time of the season. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely what they needed.
Yeah, and it's so key when things come through like that at some of the most fundamental times. Some big performers from those games. Brianna Yanazo, I believe that's how you say the last name, that's like an I, came away with 23 points, shooting 8 from 16 from the field, and coming away with a whopping 5 from 9 from the three-point line. Which, again, I can't shoot threes that well. So, I mean, I always applaud it whenever I see somebody shooting that well from beyond the arc like that. That is truly impressive. And she shot 100% from the free-throw line.
I mean, she had an absolute day. With that, she also had 3 rebounds and 1 assist. So, you know, a pretty nice day considering you dropped 23 points in a win. Mm-hmm. And then Jill Condron also dropped 19. So really close there, trailing behind. And that's also with 8 boards to go along with it.
And, you know, we love the boards.
That you got to work in the paint. That's it where is. You earn your money.
It is.
Anybody can shoot a 3, but not everyone has that that grit to work in the paint and get those boards.
You know, that's what I always say. You know, whenever the 3-ball ain't falling for you, or, you know, a little pick and roll action ain't falling for you, you go back to the fundamentals. You know, you go back to what got you there in the first place. And heck, man, what got you there sometimes is just that work in the paint. You know, that Shaq, why Shaq was so dominant, because he just took over in the paint. The man was huge. He bodied people. You know, got those layups, fundamentals of the game, the layups. Never discredit those. And, you know, that's what I love to see when they're out there taking care of business where business is made, and that's in the paint. You know, all that extracurricular beyond the arc, again, I applaud it. It's amazing. It's fun to watch. But, man, you start from the ground up, and the ground starts in the paint. That's how much I know.
Yep. I mean, remember when we spoke last week about the women's basketball, and we were saying one number they got to fix is the second chance points. If you're not getting those, it's going to be tough to win a game. Well, would you know, they outscored their opponent on second chance.
Oh, we got some listeners out there then, eh? And we got some listeners out there.
I'm not saying we have pull, but we probably have a lot of pull.
Hey, you know, we know a little bit what we're talking about. I like to think as much.
But I think, honestly, other than the second chance points, the number that jumps out at me is they shot unbelievably this game. 40% from 3, which is absolutely phenomenal.
The NBA average is what, 37, 36 or something like that?
Yeah.
So they're above the NBA average from three-point line.
Trust me, you're going to win a lot of games if you can shoot 40% from 3. You're going to win a lot of games in this league. You're also going to win a lot of games if you can hit 84% from the free throw line as a team.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good. So definitely those are some things Deloria, you want to build off of. You start off strong there. And, you know, you got a much-needed win at home. And it came off of good shooting and honestly, just some hard work and tough play. That's where it comes from.
Yeah, absolutely, too. And we spoke often about, in our last show, about these two games, Laurentian and Nipissing, talking about how these two games in particular are fundamental going forward for Laurier, as these are the games where you fix up those mistakes that you've been having done beforehand, and you shore them up, kind of better yourself in areas that you may not have been strong in before, and you can find it to reciprocate as much near, you know, against stronger opponents down the line. As it is worth noting that Laurentian is currently second last in the East with 4 points, and Nipissing has not won a game this year with 0-8 record. So the opponent itself is not what's so important. It's the fact that they were able to have these results and put up these kind of numbers in these instances in order to generate some confidence for themselves down the road.
Exactly. That's exactly. You hit it right on the head. You need to... These were, we talked about how these were going to be important games for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's an important game to solidify. You know, we are in a different echelon. We are a middle of the pack team, and we can compete to be a top of the league team.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you need to be, and that comes from, you know, working on fundamentals through these two games. And it helps that they're at home. It makes everything just way less stressful. especially because, you know, you still got tests, you still got papers, you still got all that stuff.
But you got no travel time to worry about.
Exactly. So helps. It gives you that extra couple nights in your bed just to be comfortable, be able to get the things around the sport done. Whether that be, hey, I'm going to go home, go visit the family, whatever it is. And honestly, I don't think people recognize how much the home away advantage really does take into effect when you take in, you know, you still got class, mm-hmm. you still got papers.
Student athletes.
Exactly. And let's not forget, we're not professional athletes here.
Mm-hmm.
Student athletes. So there's a lot of other responsibility, and whether that be a job, all kinds of things. But if we're going to talk about the Nipissing game, your Laurier Golden Hawks got off to a hot start, and they didn't ever let Nipissing back in it,
mm-hmm.
which is what you want to see. They got off shooting with 26 buckets in the first quarter, and the game was pretty much over at that point. Laurier just held the lead throughout.
Oh, and not just held the lead, but had an outstanding defensive effort. To pinpoint the third quarter in particular, they held Nipissing to a total of 5 points, which is remarkable. Remarkable. You don't see that very often. I mean, some talking about some big performances that occurred on Laurier. Brianna Yanazo again dropping 15 points, shooting a perfect 4 from 4 from the free throw line. A little bit less than the 3-point line this time, only hitting 1 of 5 shots, but she took a little bit less shots in this instance. As well as Rachel Woodburn dropping 13 points, hitting 6 from 14 from the field, and 1 for 2 from the free throw line. And then what I feel is also really fundamental and big in this game is the assistance they had from Sky Jones coming off the bench, dropping 10 points, dropping 10 points like that. And whenever you get that kind of that bench presence out there, and they come out and play effective minutes for you, put points up on the board like that, and locking up the opposing team down like that, it really just boosts the overall team morale.
Exactly.
And everyone just feels like, you know, they're unstoppable at that point.
Honestly, you're going to win, again, we talked about if you're going to win a lot of games shooting 40% from the three in their last game. You're going to win a lot of games when you can get 5 players in double digits. We had Jill with 10 points, Brianna with 15, Tiana with 10, Rachel with 13, and Sky with 10. Sorry. So you're getting participation from everybody. And we spoke about this last week as well. When you lose such a key player that you lost from the year before, you're getting either you have one person to replace it or you do it by committee. And right now, through the last two games, the Laurier Golden Hawks have been doing it by committee. And that's what you need. Maybe there isn't one person that can handle that load consistently day in and day out, but you guys can do it as a team, and that's why you're on a team. Basketball is not a one-person sport. It's a team sport. And if you need all, 7-8 people in rotation to do it, then do it.
Jovan, what is the current number one team in the NBA right now?
The Toronto Raptors.
It is. And what are they well known for?
Their depth.
Exactly. The bench mob. So case in point, you have a great bench, you have great depth, you have a very lethal team from top to bottom. What's that phrase go? You're only strong as your weakest link.
Exactly.
If your weakest link is as strong as your best player, then my God, do look out down the road. So again, that is actually it for the Laurier women's basketball team for playing in the year 2018, as they will not touch court until 2019, as their first game will be against McMaster on January 4th.
Which is a good team. McMaster is a very good team. So that's a tough one coming right off of a break. They're a 7-2 team right now.
Up to fourth, too. Like what, New Year's is the first, obviously. And then you have 3 days to kind of just relax after that. Yeah, you know what? I like that it's the fourth. I like that because it's not too long afterwards where you kind of have to, you start reeling. As we talked about earlier, you're sitting on the bench or just hanging out for too long.
You don't lose that rhythm.
Exactly. You get back into it sooner than later, which is good. So be sure to check that out in the new upcoming year. And that is, again, on January 4th. And that is at the AC at 6 p.m. And then they'll play, oh, wow. They go from McMaster at home to jumping on the bus and going right to Windsor on the 5th the next day, playing against Windsor at the St. Denis Center at 6 p.m.
That's a trip.
So do come out for the McMaster game at least if you're around, as they would love the support, and the support does amplify the team play, as clearly shown in both our hockey and in our basketball.
Yeah.
So that is exciting coming up for that. Shifting gears now to last but certainly not least, men's basketball. I think it goes without saying there was a rather humongous performance this weekend by one of the, one of the best players in all of OUA right now. As he, the second game, dropped 44 points. And that alone is truly remarkable.
Exactly. Honestly, the Laurier men's team right now, their last two games were both W's against Laurentian and Nipissing. The Laurentian game, they won 84-78. And then the Nipissing game was quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
A 108-103. Now, that's not a typical score you see in college basketball.
Especially not from Nipissing.
No. So that was... That's a nail biter right there, and an absolute thriller with just a lot of buckets.
Quickly, briefly, back to Laurentian. That game against Laurentian actually featured the conference's two top two scoring leaders, as Laurentian had Cadre Gray, who was currently averaging a whopping 32.4 points per game right now. And then just behind him is your Laurier Golden Hawk, Ali So, averaging 25.0 points per game right now, which again truly is remarkable. And looking at the matchup from that game, Ali Snow actually outplayed Cadre Gray, as Cadre only dropped 23 points and our Ali So dropped 26.
I mean, to say only dropped 23, I mean, my goodness.
Our guy dropped more, Jothan. That was the point I'm getting at here.
And that's all we need, you know? It's been absolutely awesome to watch this year, just watching Ali So go off. I mean, if there is one person I will to say, please go and watch this year, it is this kid. He is absolutely electric every time he steps on the court. I mean, this guy just shows up and dropped 26 points. Now, take this in, Kiefer. Take this in. This guy dropped 26 points. You know how many threes he hit?
Tell me how many threes
he hit. He only hit two.
Wow.
So he did not have a great three-point shooting day.
Mm-hmm.
And yet this dude still dropped 26 points. He had a game-high 26 points. He led the game, man.
And I love that. I love the fact that he didn't have a great three-point shooting day and still came out with that kind of result. Because that just really is an example of his resilience and his determination throughout that game, that he has no desire to quit. Absolutely none at all. And also, it is also worth noting that amongst the rebound leaders, currently, Camille Archer, again of your Laurier Golden Hawks, sits third in the conference right now with 9.8 boards per game.
And that's something we can't discount because,
never.
You know, again, you talk about the fundamentals, getting in the paint, doing the nasty, which is getting in that paint, grabbing those boards. That's what it is. And this guy, let's as much as we're going to say, hey, you know what, Ali So, you know, you went out there, your three ball wasn't even hitting, and yet you were still resilient, still shooting, and still helping your Golden Hawks win the game on 38 minutes. Camille Archer had a double-double on 21 minutes of game action.
Mm-hmm.
10 points and 12 boards. So this guy's out there working.
Which was a game-high 12 boards at that. Again, really solidifies the fact that he is just an absolute force in the paint, which, as I said, I love to watch it. I love to watch guys dominate in that paint. And for him to come out like that, and a consistent night like that, and a consistent nightly effort, pardon me, and just be so effective, just really takes a lot of pressure off everyone around him and opens up a lot of lanes and a lot of shots. And, you know, the thing is, too, I feel like when you have a guy who's that dominant in the paint, who you feel a lot of confidence in to get those offensive rebounds, it takes a lot of pressure off the shot. You know, there's not so much like, I need to hit this or else they're going to have a fast break or, you know, they're going to get the ball back no matter what. It's, I'm going to hit this and, you know, get 3 points, or I miss, and there's a really good chance that Camille's going to be under that net right there to gather my rebound and just put that garbage away. And, you know, having that kind of confidence just really opens the lanes up where you'll have these instances where guys like Ali Snow will take 13 three-pointers a game because he has that confidence. You know what? If I miss, my guy's there to pick me up. Or another guy like Natori Habimana, I believe I pronounced his name correctly, will take another 8 3 points a game and hit 2 of them. Matt Matono, 6 3 points a game, hit 2 of them.
Not a great three shooting day for the Hawks.
But they took a lot because they have the confidence.
And you know, when you have a team that doesn't have that confidence, they'll huck one or two up and go, whoa,
mm-hmm.
That's not us. But it takes a certain type of team to say, we'll keep shooting it. We know it'll fall.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. Like, think about if we're going to bring a pro example, just to kind of visualize the point, it's Houston last year. They were so confident. The Houston Rockets were so confident in their three ball. How many did they miss consecutively? Like 27 straight three-pointers consecutively? Yep. But they knew, we can do this. Sure, it might be a mental block right now, but we're not getting away from it. They ended up losing the series because they were so confident in their three ball that this offense can work for us when it's clicking. And to be honest, when their offense is clicking, nobody can stop them.
And who's also dominant, who isn't a three-point shooter, who's a big factor to all those shots, is Clint Capella, mm-hmm. their center. And again, having a guy like that, just like Laurier with your Camille Archer, who's so dominant in the paint, and you can feel confident to gather the garbage, if you will, the missed shots, get those offensive boards and get those putbacks, puts a lot of confidence in the perimeter shooters all around.
Exactly. This is a Laurier team that will space the floor and has the confidence to shoot it. And, you know, even when it's not going, they shot 22% against Laurentian. It was not falling, to say the least. To be honest, I could go out there and shoot 22%.
Mm-hmm.
I hope.
They would hope. Of course, we would hope.
But what is impressive is you still come out with a victory, even when something you know you're really good at isn't working. That just shows you how lethal this team is. This is a team that is number 9 in the U Sports ranking.
Mm-hmm. Number 9 in the U Sports ranking and number 1 in the West right now, too.
They are a lethal group. And to think they won this game, which right now Laurentian is, I think, 4-4
mm-hmm.
after this weekend of games. They won this game still without their best option, which is shooting the 3-ball.
Mm-hmm.
That's a dangerous team. That is a dangerous team. And honestly, the OUA needs to watch out for this squad.
Oh, absolutely, too. And when that 3-ball starts to hit, you will see the instances like the following game where you have an instance of Ali So dropping 44 points. Mind you, there was overtime, which is duly noted. But 44 points, shooting 14 of 27 from field goals. A perfect, take this in right here, a perfect 12 for 12 from the free throw line and 4 for 15 from the three-point mark. Again, as a team overall, they shot 31% from the three-point line, so up from the previous game. But again, the number that jumps out to me is the fact that Ali Snow got to the free throw line and took care of business.
For me, what jumps out, I love the free throw shooting. That is, you're reliable.
Mm-hmm.
It's, and what makes free throw shooting so hard is, you know, you're running in for that layup and you get fouled. Okay, now you got to slow your breathing down, focus. And, you know, everything has to stop. You have to ignore the crowd. You have to ignore everything. It's all focused on you, and you just have to perform right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that shows real skill. Shows, like, a mental toughness is mm-hmm. when you can go to the free throw line, your team is depending on you, and you can come out with that. But what really stands out to me is his assist total that game.
Mm.
Ali So, 44 points, amazing. 6 boards, amazing. 7 assists. It's a guy who can get it done himself, but he knows how to get his teammates involved. He knows, hey, I need them to win, and he will get them involved. But, you know, if we're going to go back to your fundamentals, Camille Archer, 15 rebounds.
Game high.
Is he, like, attracted? Like, how does this work? Get 15 boards, man.
I like to think about it as the man just has a hustle and a motor that just will not be stopped by anybody. You know, when he sees that ball up in the air, he knows how to put himself in the good position where he will be in the most ideal position to grab the ball if it is happens to miss. And I think that's especially evident in the defensive spot where that's, you know, the most key position. You don't want to give up those second chance points where the team can come back and get an easy 2. You know, get a nice box out, collect that ball when it comes off the backboard or off the rim, and just get that offense going for the other opposing, for your own attack, is so fundamental. And that's where he was especially dominant with 9 boards in the defense there. So that was huge. But coming away with the 15 game high boards like that.
And still dropped 17 points.
And still, that's huge.
Let's not forget, this guy still is effective on offense. 17 points, which was, what, the third highest scorer in the game?
Mm-hmm.
Matt Minutillo was the second highest with 22 points. I mean, your Hawks can score.
Mm-hmm.
They are an absolute scoring juggernaut at this point. With 108 points, and I mean, it's still a 5-point win, which is insane when you think about it.
Fun to watch, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very fun to watch.
Absolutely dynamic.
Dropping 31 points in the fourth quarter like that is remarkable. And just a level of resiliency that is unmatched, if you will, unmatched. As again, it was just very much an offensive quarter, with Nipissing dropping 27 and Laurier dropping 31. But again, still for them to drop them like that and have that resiliency to come back in overtime and come away with a W is humongous. So kudos to them and kudos to our 2 stars that we mentioned before, Camille Archer and Ali So. So again, They will not be playing until January. As aforementioned with the women's team, they'll be playing against McMaster and Windsor. And if you guys forgot, it will be on the 4th against McMaster and on the 5th against Windsor in Windsor. So if you're available, do check that out in the new year.
Definitely go cheer on your Hawks as they look on, as they look to extend their 4-game win streak.
Absolutely. As it's been great basketball to watch lately. And you know you're going to get a great performance by Camille in the paint and an absolute amazing performance by Ali beyond the arc.
Exactly. Definitely, this is 100% the team to go support right now. They are lighting it up, and you know their national ranking, we're watching it stay at number 9. The rankings came out when, yesterday or today?
I believe today.
I think it was today. Days, yeah. So, you know, it's been an absolute pleasure. And I don't think if you looked at the start of the year, this is necessarily where you saw the men's team going.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they did. I'm sure they were like, you know what? We know we can compete with anybody in this province and anybody in this country. But it's been an absolute joy, and you definitely want to watch them continue their success throughout the new year. But for us here at Hawkeyes, we're coming into the final minutes of our show. Kiefer, is anything you want to say to wrap it up?
It was a great show tonight. Always love looking at great performances from our Hawks, and again, watching Ali Snow drop those 44 out there is truly remarkable. Be sure to tune in next week as we'll be having an interview with two of our Laurier women's rugby team. Haley, can't skip my head right now, and Liam McBain will be on the show. So do tune in as it'll be an exciting episode. And we'll catch you guys next week for the season finale.